Today we kick off our three-week mini-series on the topic of missions. And the elders, we want to provide a solid kind of foundation for what that means. What does mission, as we continue to grow, as we continue to mature as an independent church, what does this whole concept of missions mean? If you're like me as a child, I grew up in the church. I was a Christian kid, right? I grew up in the church, and once a year, all the flags came out from all the different countries. Anybody else with me on this? The maps went up on the screen, right? And I started to get hives. I started to freak out because I was afraid that whoever they were going to fly in and give the motivational mission speech, that my parents were going to drink that Kool-Aid, and then we would fly to Africa. And I would like leave all of my friends and I would have to go to this strange country that I didn't want to go to. Maybe if you're a little like me, you think about that when you think about missions. People have all sorts of reactions when they hear the word missions, plural. There are missionaries, mission trips, mission committees, short-term missions, medical missions. But I would like us to begin our focus of missions by focusing on singular, the mission of the church. You can't talk about church missions without talking about the mission of the church, singular. Maybe we think of mission statement. And according to Google, a mission statement is a formal summary of the aims and values of a company, organization, or individual. So then that being said, what is the mission of Highlands Bible Church? This is a quiz. You can be temporarily Baptist and speak back to me, okay? The mission of Highlands Bible Church is to make and mature disciples to bring glory to God by the making and maturing of disciples of Jesus Christ, right? That is our mission. We make and mature disciples. If you ever wonder, or if that's the first time you heard that, and you wonder why the pastor just butchered his own mission statement, it's because it comes from God's word. Maybe you wonder where that came from, but today is your Sunday. We are going to figure that out from God's word today. The mission of Highlands, and I'll say right up front, every church is given by Jesus himself. The church has a singular mission, and we've tried to summarize it in what we've said by glorifying God, by making and maturing disciples of Jesus Christ. I want to walk through that in these next 3 weeks together. So please turn your Bibles to Matthew 28. If you are astute and you remember last week, that's where we left off. Jesus has just resurrected from the dead. Should be familiar to us. We're going to keep going in that, almost like we had a plan. Jesus rose from the dead after being crucified. After that, he just didn't float back up into heaven immediately. Acts 1 tells us that Jesus was around for 40 days after coming back to life. And he showed them many proofs and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. Matthew summarizes here Jesus' final instructions to his disciples and by extension to us and all his church. My goal as we look at Matthew 28, starting at verse 16 this week, is to pick apart and understand in a fresh way the mission of the church. And let that empower us. Let that give us new passion, biblically informed mission. And look at the words of Jesus, or starting in verse 16. Of Matthew 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And so if we pause there, jumping back in again to our narrative, Jesus resurrected from the dead. They have 11 disciples minus Judas right now. They go back to Galilee. They rally together in Galilee. And Jesus says, "Hey, it's time for a hike." So they go on a hike. They go to the top of a mountain that overlooked all of the area. And it reminded me immediately of before we planted Highlands Bible Church, the elders of Green Pond hiked up Stairway to Heaven over here. And we overlooked Vernon. And we sat there and we prayed. We prayed for Vernon. We prayed for God to establish his church in Vernon. But imagine being with Jesus on top of that mountain overlooking all of the area. He just resurrected from the dead. He's called you up to the top of a mountain. You're overlooking things. Something big is coming. He's going to tell you something massively important. The stage is set to give them the mission. And if that moment wasn't sweet enough, he gives them the foundation first. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me, he says. Jesus did his mission perfectly. The mission's complete. He's risen from the dead. He had gone to the cross perfectly in our place. He had lived his life perfectly and sinlessly. And as proof again that that was the case, God raised him from the dead to prove that it was all acceptable and good. He conquered sin. He conquered Satan. He conquered death. He conquered all of those things and brought us the possibility of being reconciled with Jesus. He's the supreme authority in all of creation. He's saying, guys, look at what just happened. I have all authority in heaven and on earth. And the resurrection proved it. This is Jesus and this is no one else. And so as we get started here, we need to say this as Jesus laid the foundation. Only Jesus has the authority to set the mission of the church. Only Jesus has the authority to set the mission of the church. And this is something that we shouldn't just be too quick to run right by. Jesus says this before he gives them the mission. Jesus, again, is alive. God raised him back to life. That work was done perfectly, completely. Jesus verified who he was, what he did, why it mattered that God accepted his sacrifice. Therefore, he has the authority to set the mission of the church. Allow me a very simple illustration, right? Pretend you own a company. You start a company. It's your company. It's your baby. You understand what the mission of that company is. And only you have the authority to set that mission for that company. It's a very simple illustration. It's something really important. We do not set the mission of the church. We do not set the mission of the church. Jesus is prefacing this with his authority that he alone has to set the mission of the church. The mission of the church has already been set by the one who alone has that authority to do so, and that's Jesus Christ. We look at the mission corporately as a church and individually as disciples of Jesus. Remember, the church is not necessarily a building. It's believers gathered together on mission. It's you guys. You are the church, the corporate church. As the church, we seek to fulfill the mission that Jesus has set for us to the best of our ability. That's why he gives us the church. That's why he gives us resources. That's why he gives us elders and leaders in the church. That's why he gives us his word. That's why he gives us the Spirit. We seek to combine energies to fulfill the mission that he will give us. But even as individuals, this is a critical component that we need to understand. We don't accept Jesus into our mission. We accept Jesus's mission. We submit to Jesus and his mission. We don't just accept Jesus into our mission. We submit to Jesus's mission. He has the right to set the mission for our lives and for his church. What he says is sin, therefore, is sin. He says how we're supposed to treat others in love. He says what a husband is supposed to do. He says what a wife is supposed to do, what a child is supposed to do, what a follower of Jesus is supposed to do. He sets these things. We submit to his authority. But submission seems to be a bad word these days. It seems to get a bad rap. And by way of application, straight up, do we get that? Do we understand that as the church and as individuals, that we have a mission that's been set by our Creator, the one who has authority over us, and ours is to submit to that? Sometimes we bristle at that. But Jesus has the authority to create that mission. Or are we just too busy trying to figure out what our purpose is? What our mission is? What is the meaning of life? What am I called to do? You see, the funny thing is, all that is wrapped up in Jesus himself because he's the one who created us anyway, so he knows. But we're off over there in a field somewhere trying to figure out what the meaning of life is, what the purpose is, what my calling is. And Jesus says, I gave you a mission. Maybe you should start there, and things will be a lot more clear as you proceed. These are all good and valid questions. We have our most important calling. We need to figure out what it is in light of our particular context, in light of that mission, right? In light of the mission, we get our own particular context. What place, what people, what area God has called each one of us to fulfill this mission. The mission has already been set because Jesus has his authority and he commands us in our mission. And Jesus continues on with the specifics of the mission. Look at verse 19. He says, go therefore, okay, foundation has been laid. Now he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Here is the mission. He gives it to us. He gives it to the disciples and by extension us, the church. And this is part one. We're gonna build on this definition week by week by week. He says this is the mission. Therefore, on my authority, go and make disciples of all nations. And we look at this sentence in English and we say, okay, what's the main verb? And we go. Except in Greek, it's not. It's not the main verb. The main verb is make disciples. That's the imperative. That's the command. Go is assumed, right? You're going. As you're going about your life, as you're doing the things that God has for you, as you have the special callings and giftings and passions that God puts in your hearts, you're going. We're all going somewhere. I don't know where some of you are going, but we're all going somewhere, right? But as we're going, the main command is make disciples. That's the main command. How do you make a disciple? There's only one way. You proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you ask somebody to respond. And the Holy Spirit hopefully opens their eyes to the truth of that. And they understand who Jesus is and why they need a Savior. They understand they need forgiveness. And they accept that. They submit to that. And so here's the mission, church. The mission is to proclaim the gospel. The mission is to proclaim the gospel. Making disciples is intrinsically behind the last part of verse 19, right? You baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That happens after someone comes to faith. You believe, and then you are baptized, right? And you do that. This is stealing from the next couple weeks. But where do you do that? Where do you baptize people? In the context of what? The local church. It's made to be fulfilled within the local church. I'm stealing from my next couple weeks, but I can't help it because I love the church very, very much. And the going part is assumed, right? As you're going, you're making disciples. You will go about your lives. You'll be called with various passions and interests to other places. Go, and as you're going, make disciples by telling them who I am, what I did, and why it mattered, and why you need a Savior. That's what he tells us. That's our mission. The Bible isn't a book of rules. And we look at the Bible, if you're new to the Bible, you think, yeah, it's got a lot of stuff in it I don't like. There's like the first three quarters of it is just straight up weird and scary, and I don't understand it. But the Bible isn't a book of rules. The Bible answers the four big questions that we need to come to grips with that every other philosophy or religion tries to come to grips with, but they don't. The ones that are burning in our hearts. Who am I? What am I here for? What's going wrong? And how do I fix it? Or how does it get fixed? The Bible presents that worldview from a God-centered perspective. It's God's story, and it's us in relation to that perfect, holy God. And all of the Bible, all of it, if you haven't read the whole Bible, read the whole Bible. You'll see the God-centered perspective, the God-centered narrative that weaves through that whole thing that answers that question. All of those questions, as we philosophically try to figure that out. Humans are naturally questioners, aren't we? We love that question, why? Why is this happening to me? How long is it going to, is it ever going to stop? Am I ever going to, whatever it is, you know, you need that. That's, we have that inside us. That's what this book tells us. But it starts with the mission. It starts with who God is, and it starts with proclaiming the hope of Jesus Christ in the gospel. The Bible tells us that every human being, from the unborn baby in the womb to the 12-year-old trapped in sexual slavery to the 99-year-old man in a nursing home, we're all made in the image of God, and we all have dignity and value and worth in God. We have a mission. Proclaim the gospel. The mission is what we're here for, to make disciples, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. But something went wrong, right? We decided what? We decided it wasn't God's mission. We decided it was our mission. And so instead of God being king and father and ruling over our lives, we decided, no, we're in charge of our lives. It's our mission. We're the ones who set the priority. We're the ones who say what's what. And then we submit to us and not him. What did that do? That fractured our relationship with our Heavenly Father. That sin and evil and sickness and death. And worst of all, God's wrath then came upon our heads. But our Heavenly Father, perfect in wisdom and justice and grace and mercy, did what? He gave us Jesus. He had the answer for us. He gave us Jesus. The Son that gave himself up for us. Living that life that we could not live on our own, coming to God, coming to earth as God in the flesh, dying as our substitute on the cross with all the wrath and all the penalty for sin on him, raising from the dead 3 days later to prove that a sacrifice was accepted. That's what God did to establish the mission, right? Because let's face it, if it were up to us, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. I'm going to fail in probably 24 hours. I'm going to be too wrapped up in sin or myself or my own other interests or everything else. God enables his mission through the gospel, through Jesus. And so the mission is to proclaim the gospel. Ours is to understand who we are in light of that. Understand the mission that we're here for and what's been done to fix it. And we fix it. People fix it. I'm hesitant to use the word fix, but people fix it by responding to the gospel, submitting to the gospel. That's the mission that Jesus has set. We do not set the mission. Jesus already has. And that mission can become unclear. It's easy to get distracted, even with the good things, and lose our focus of the mission as individuals in the church. The mission is not merely to love people. That's the way we do the mission, but not the mission in and of itself. I had a conversation with somebody at Starbucks, and I asked her what the mission of the church was, and she said, to love everyone. I said, yes, not necessarily the mission of the church, right? Jesus set that. The mission is not to do good works. Those are things that accompany the mission, right? The mission is not only feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, or giving shelter to those who are homeless, right? The mission is not merely social justice. Those are attributes of the missions. Sticking up for those suffering injustice or oppression. Now, please hear me clearly, because this is when, it's when I cough. But besides that, this is when I get emails that say, you said we shouldn't do social justice. No, that's not what I'm saying. You said we shouldn't love people. No, that's not what I'm saying. Go do all of those things. Do good works. Love people, feed the hungry, clothe the homeless, fight for the lives of the unborn, work to free those in sexual slavery. But church, if you're not proclaiming the gospel according to what Jesus just said, you aren't doing the mission of the church. We want to do all those things. We have to do all those things. But if we do merely those things, we miss the mission of the church. We have to do both. I say go and do both. Give a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, he says. But you see how he says that? In the name of Jesus. Do it with my gospel. Do it with who I am. Share. Proclaim the message. Take care of them. I've been on a few short-term missions trips that weren't actually missions trips. I spent a week in Jamaica, and I don't ever think I saw a Jamaican. I was trapped in a school painting and painting and painting and painting. Those are good things, but it wasn't a mission trip. It was a work trip. Anybody could have done that. There's a difference that I'm trying to point out here. We spent precious little time proclaiming the gospel. Our family's been to Haiti 3 times. Every time you go into a third world country, you wrestle with the crushing, overwhelming need of everything you see around us. Poverty. People not being able to make it through the day, not having enough food, wondering where they're going to come. Kids walking around naked. People sick and not being able to have a doctor, not being able to get water. Sewage running in the streets. All of that stuff. And that's what you're immediately focused on. And guess what? So are they. Because they see Americans coming and they're like, you can help me. Because you probably have more money in your wallet right now than I've ever seen in my life. So please give me money. Give me food. Give me anything. Give me, give me. And we do. When we can't. They beg you to feed them, which we do. They beg you for money, which we give them when we can. They beg you to bring them home with me, which you can't because it's international kidnapping. But we tell them about Jesus because we say, I can feed you today. I can feed you today. But you're going to be hungry tomorrow. And you're going to be hungry the next day and the next day and the next day. Right? What will fix the hunger that's in your soul? Only Jesus. And they can't see past that, and it's hard for us to see past that. But we've got to understand that if we're just feeding them, we're not giving the mission of the church. We feed them. We want to do that. We proclaim the gospel to them. The greatest need is reconciliation with God. It's removal of his just wrath for sin. It's responding to his gospel. We need to help meet legitimate needs. But we need to do it in the name of Christ and by bringing Christ's message. And let's put some practicalities around this, okay? Let's look at three things, the what, the who, and the why of this mission. First, the what. We need to be rock solid and crystal clear on what we are proclaiming. In other words, we know the gospel as it is in here. We have to know it in here, crystal clear. That can get turned around. It can tell some of the story. And the same thing applies here. The gospel is not merely that God loves you. The gospel is not merely that God has a plan for your life, or that God can provide your life with meaning and fulfillment and all of the things that you don't think you have now that maybe he'll provide you when you come to Christ. Maybe he won't. Again, the balance here. Is the gospel part of the gospel, part of the truth that God loves us? Yes, God loves us. Because of the great love in which he loved us, he gave us Christ. He loves us. God does have a plan for your life. God will provide your life with a meaning and a purpose that can only be found in Jesus Christ. But those things in and of themselves are not the gospel. Right? You understand that? So we have to be very clear on the what the gospel is. The message we are called to proclaim is set. That's why we stick it in the bulletin every single week. That's why when people are interviewed for membership, we sit down and the first thing we ask them is, tell us the gospel. That's why in membership class, we talk about the gospel all the time. That's why in counseling situations, we go back to what? The gospel. That's why our identity in Christ goes back to the gospel. Everything is about the gospel. The every answer to every longing of the human heart of who I am, what am I here for, what went wrong, how can that be fixed, is found in the gospel. But we can't just separate those things out. If we have a mission, church, of proclaiming the gospel, we have to know what the message is. We need to be crystal clear on the gospel, who God is, who we are before a holy God. That we are sinners deserving of his wrath, that he gave us Christ, and that we can respond by faith and be saved. We need to remember that. But we also have to remember who is called to proclaim this message. Who's Jesus talking to up on this mountain here? He's talking to the disciples. He's talking to his 11 disciples. And by extension, what do we call ourselves? Disciples. We're all disciples of Jesus Christ. This mission is for all of us. That's the temptation, right? Missions work is for Mary Lou, right? She comes up here. She was tapped on the shoulder to go to Central Asia and translate the Bible and work and all that stuff. That's who the mission's for. Wrong. The mission's for disciples. The mission's for all of us. Jesus gave this to his disciples. We are disciples. You cannot proclaim this message. You cannot fulfill your mission until you become a disciple. Right? Sometimes even in years gone by, right? We've gone on these missions trips and we've been tempted to take other people that are not believers with us. Okay, I can understand that. They're going to be stuck in a plane for 2 weeks in a third world country with other believers. That could work because we could just preach the gospel to them every single day and they're trapped, right? But let's be clear. They don't have the same mission that we do because they're not disciples, right? We are disciples. We are called to to bring that message. But on a more practical level, church, this is for all disciples. Watch this. Wherever you are right now. Right? Some of you, I hope, will get tapped on the shoulder and will go to Central Asia. And will go to really dark places in the Middle East. We'll go to China if they let you in. We'll go to these, but you have a burden for those people. God does that. That's how that happens. But a lot of us are going to stay right here. And we're still called to the mission, church, wherever we are. Whatever life stage you're in, if you're unemployed, you still have a mission. If you feel like you're in a dead-end job, you still have a mission. If you're a mom trapped in the house with a baby and a toddler and think you're slowly going insane, you still have a mission. If you're chained to a cubicle 11 hours a day, you still have a mission. If you're a student who's stressing out right now about finals and grades, you still have a mission. Instead of feeling guilty that you aren't where you think you need to be to fulfill the mission, open up your spiritual eyes to see the mission field that is right in front of you where God has you right now. You understand that? Sometimes we get like this, like my life is not what I want it to be, right? God has you where he wants you right now. I'm not saying don't make changes. Some of you make changes. That's fine. Go through godly counsel. Pray it out. Understand what's going on. Talk to people. Make a change. I'm not saying that. But a lot of us just need to open our eyes to where we are right now. Hear me clearly. The answer then is not what most people do. I need to make a change in order to what? Feel more satisfied. Find my way to do something. I need to do something. Do something if it's a good decision, but don't do something to satisfy that itch in your soul. Because that itch in your soul is probably because you're not fulfilling the mission where you are. Open your eyes to the mission field that God has you right where you are. Instead of feeling guilty that you aren't where you think you should be, open up your spiritual eyes to see it. There are people placed in your life right now that need the hope of Jesus Christ. All of us. They need to hear the gospel. And as disciples, it's our mission to proclaim it to them. And that brings us to the why. And Jesus himself gives us the why of our mission. In Matthew 9, put in your bulletins, we see Jesus in the early stages of his mission. He doesn't just go about the mission begrudgingly, right? With cold indifference. Matthew 9, starting at verse 36, he says this. This is the why, church. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Why do we do this mission? Because we have compassion, like Jesus had compassion. Like Jesus looked at the people and saw they were lost, like sheep without a shepherd. And if we don't tell them there is hope, who will? We accept this mission, church, because hell is real. Because a life without Christ will be ultimately unfulfilled, tragically, in this life, and even more tragically, in the next, for eternity. We need to think seriously about these things because the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few, because we go about our American lives distracted with many things, with comforts, with hard times, with real things that are hard, with stresses. All the while, the mission is still here. It's still there. God doesn't wait to clear up our lives from the mess in order to say, "Okay, you're good. Now you can go on mission." No. He does it, what? In the midst of the mess. Because he empowers us to do it in the midst of the mess. We're called to live lives that glorify Jesus Christ in every aspect of our lives. We don't put that on pause while we rearrange our life to be what we need it to be, and then we can get down to business. Jesus says, no. It's all of life is for my glory, and you are to go and make disciples. Some of us will be called to different places. Maybe some of you will pack up and move to Africa and proclaim the gospel to a people group you've never heard of before. Hopefully that will happen. But the majority of us, maybe we just need to open our eyes to the mission field that's all around us. Realize that our lives aren't about us. And that goes against everything in our culture, right? Our lives are about living our lives for God's glory. No matter where God has placed us, and making disciples in that, proclaiming the gospel out of compassion for people who are lost. Many times we're doing that treading water, right? Doing life. Trying to make sense of why we're here, what it means, what went wrong, and how to fix it. The gospel provides what all of life cannot. Peace in our souls. Peace with God. Not just temporary peace, eternal peace with God. And that's only through one way, the gospel of Jesus. And our mission is to proclaim that gospel. And church, we need to do that again with our words. Right? Sometimes we say, well, I just kind of live my life in a really good way, and then every once in a while somebody asks me if I go to church, and I say yes. That's not proclaiming the gospel. That's good, but that's not proclaiming the gospel. Right? Proclaiming the gospel is proclaiming what God says in His Word with our mouths, with actual words, using Scripture, telling people of who God is, their need for Christ, what He's done, and how to receive that. But that's meaningless if our lives don't back that up, right? That's meaningless if we live lives that are characterized by selfishness and comfort and sin. So much more is caught than taught, right? We do need to speak, but our lives and our actions speak so loudly. We need to show people where our affections are and tell them. We need to show people what's most important in our lives by how we live it and tell them. We need to show people that we have a drive for purity and a love for marriage and a love for parenting to disciple our own children. Mark Dever calls our families evangelism's front yard. We need to disciple our own children in this. They're not just automatically going to become believers because they go to Highlands, right? We need to disciple these precious children downstairs. And we need to live our lives in such a way that glorifies God. Our mission, church, is to proclaim that gospel, and all of life is wrapped up in this. Let's pray that we can understand that more. Let's pray that we can walk in that. Let's pray that we have the courage to make changes where changes need to be made. And let's pray knowing who we are, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, we pray for your Spirit to work its ways in each one of the souls that we have here today as we stick our toe in this topic of missions. Pray that you will help us to understand what that mission is in proclaiming the gospel, to go and make disciples of all nations. Father, help us to open our eyes to those around us that need the hope of Christ, that only we have that influence with our families, with our friends, with our neighbors, with our coworkers, with people we go to school with, all of those things where you have placed us. But God, would you also please do this? Would you also open our own eyes to our hearts to see where we are neglecting that mission for the sake of ourselves, Lord, for the sake of being wrapped up in this world and its comforts and its trappings and all of that. Lord, we don't need to quit our jobs to become a full-time missionary necessarily. But we pray that you would cause some people to do that. Pray that you would call them places like Mary Lou goes, and Sam and Maureen goes, and Lord, even local missions efforts that we seek to meet practical needs with Today's Choice, with My Brother's Place, with other organizations, Lord, as they meet physical needs and proclaim the gospel. God, would you also protect your church from that measure of guilt that always comes with things like this? Father, let us understand who we are in Jesus Christ. We are holy. We are dearly loved. We are adopted as sons and daughters of God. May we throw off the guilt and the sin that so easily entangles and run with perseverance the race that is marked before us. Would we run this race with endurance and worship, because you have qualified us to do it, and you will supply every need as we seek to bring your message to those who need it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.